anything. They said, go home, have your life, get your surgery, whatever you need. Says, don't worry about it. 50% is no issue at all. So, hallelujah, I think I'm at 100%. And, you know, Pastor said it's a great day to be in God's house today. You know, I'm going to change it just a little bit. Every day is a great day to be in God's house. You know, I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if the sun's shining. I made this statement this morning, and I said it from my heart. You know, I used to believe that there was a lot of denominations that people were, I need to choose one, Seventh-day Adventists for convenience, whatever the religion is, you know. They were that for convenience. And you know, I'm coming to the conclusion that more and more people in our Baptist church are Baptist because of convenience too. You know, it's today, the lesson's about David. And it's the final lesson in the series. And it's about David's walk with the Lord. You know, it says in there, David was a man after God's own heart. And what we want to do today is look and see, why would people say, why would God say, David is a man after my own heart? There was two other men, Enoch and Noah, walked with God. But David was a man after God's own heart. And I made a note here at the beginning of this. God does not answer empty prayers. He answers obedience. He wants us to be obedient. And one of my biggest complaints at this time of the year, really at any time of the year, but I'm seeing it now more than any. You know, we as a nation, okay, let me even say the flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance.
You know, do we really do it? I pledge allegiance to that flag right there. And I'm proud I'm an American, and I wouldn't want to be any other nationality or anything else. I'm proud to be an American, but also I'm proud to be a Christian. And, you know, I guess the biggest thing, you can be disrespectful to me if you want to be. I don't care. You can be disrespectful to me. But what really eats my lunch, if I could say it that way, is being disrespectful to my God and my Savior. You know, He's done so much for me, and when I see people being disrespectful to Him, that eats at me. And, you know, disrespectful, how do we do it? You know, yesterday, I felt kind of bad. I walked in here yesterday, and one gentleman was carrying his chairs out. Now, the doctor told me because he went through here, the reason he didn't want to go through the groin because I had gangrene down there, you know, and they didn't want to go through that because of to do this thing. So he told me, he said, don't carry anything over 10 pounds for the next 3 days. So here I do. I come in, you know, down, and I watch him go in and out and in and out and in and out, carrying two chairs at a time. And I'm sitting there like, look at me. What's wrong with me? Just like when Betty, we used to go to Kenya, 72-pound suitcases, and I couldn't carry but 10 pounds for almost 2 years. So here I am walking on. Come on, babe, bring those six suitcases along. You male chauvinist pig, right? That's what I think a lot of people thought about me. That's okay, though. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes I do feel bad because, you know, we really need to find out, though, why is someone not pledging allegiance to the flag? Well, in most cases, if they can't pledge allegiance to that flag, let them go back to the country they can. And if they can't pledge allegiance to my Savior's flag and His word, let them go somewhere else also. I don't care. That'd be fine with me, and I'll help pack their bags for them. But you know what? Real quick, we got to hurry along. Psalms 23. Let's open up there. I want to read the first six verses to start with. Psalms 23, 1 through 6. The Lord, okay, I'm just going to read it right now. I'll come back and talk about it in a minute. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is David talking. Listen to him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this lesson about David. Lord, let us make the application as we look at him. Why could he be called a man after God's own heart? Lord, help us to try to strive for that same thing, that we could be called a man after God's own heart, that we could be someone who walked after God and loved him and served him. Father, bless this lesson. Bless this morning, the presentation, the word as it's preached. Lord, this day, let us bring honor and glory to you and to your Son. Let us give him the honor he deserves this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Most important thing about David during his lifetime was his relationship to the Lord. Now, there was a lot of things that happened to David. He went through a lot of troubles and tribulations. But you know something? That's what made him what he was. As I've mentioned before, you take a tree, one that's not been in the down along the seashore where the wind blows all the time. That wind blowing on that tree is what makes those roots grow deep. It's never had the wind to blow on them, never had any troubles. They don't understand anything. David had been through enough. God had taken care of him enough. He knew what the thing was all about. Most important thing was that. The only man in the Bible to be described as a man after God's own heart. You know, I want us to look at this thing today and try to understand. How did David cultivate his relationship with God? What made him to be a man that was after God's own heart? We need to realize also that we can develop a consistent walk with him also. We can if we try. And we need to decide to give ourselves wholly to the Lord. There's three things in this lesson today. David knew the Lord. And we'll talk a couple things about that. Second thing is, David loved the Lord. And the third thing is, David agreed with God also. He knew him, he loved him, and he agreed. In this conclusion of the studies of David, the most important thing is David's walk with the Lord. And that's what this lesson is about. He had a heart that yearned after God. In this relationship, we as Christians, we need to seek for the same thing that David had. You know, the Apostle Paul, he saw David in the Scripture, and he knew what David did. And the Apostle Paul, here's what he wrote. Now, Saul had just been the king for 40 years when Saul's looking at this. He's seen Paul is looking at this. He's seen Saul as a ruler for 40 years. And now, he's been removed, and David is made the ruler. And then in verse 22 of Acts 13, 22, Paul said, when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill my will. What was it about David's heart that made him be able to, for him be able to say that? David knew God. You know, he knew him. That word know, I know a lot of things. A little bit about a whole lot of things and a whole lot about nothing. But you know, to know, that word know to me, I know. I can also say, I know. You know, let me say this. A lot of us would say we know each other. I could say, yeah, I know you guys. I know Donna. I've been over to her house several times, and she plays the piano, so I can try to improve my singing. How can you improve on perfection, though, right? Thanks for trying, Donna. I appreciate your help. But you know, to know someone, my wife knows me. I'll say this. Some of you think you know me. But you know something? How many of you know I don't have a belly button? Huh? My wife knows that. Yeah. You see? So you can say, yeah, I know Bob. How much you know about me? You know, I don't mean that in a bad way to say it that way. But you know, I'm just trying to make a point. We can say we know someone. But how much do we know about them? You know, you can say you know me. Well, I'll say this. I do spend a lot of time trying to get a lesson ready that will bring honor and glory and praise to God. But David knew God. He knew him personally. You know, we said we read that. I want us to look at it again. Look at the personal pronouns in that. David is speaking and said, the Lord is my shepherd. Man, I like that. He is my God. Yes, he's your God, but that's to me. He is my God. And David uses that throughout this. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the sea. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. David is saying, yeah, he's the good shepherd, but he's my shepherd. You know, he led David personally to the green pastures. When David, he led him beside the still waters. Whenever David had a need, the Lord led him to the place where he could find the refreshment that he needed for his soul. And God does that for us. You know, sometimes sometimes I get frustrated and I just get eat up. It's like my daughter said, you know, about her piano. I can't give her piano up because the last time I took her over to her house, I said, Debbie, what is it about your house that is the hardest thing for you? She said, because when I had a problem at school, she said I could come home, I could sit down at that piano and I could start playing. God knows how to bring peace to us. He knows how to give us the comfort we need. He knew the woman I needed, and he gave her to me. David was led to the green pastures. He was led by the still waters. And when he needed reassurance, he restored David's soul personally. When he was troubled, God was there. And then it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. 1 Samuel 17:34. Now, David's volunteering to go and fight the battle with Goliath. David is volunteering to go. And here is what he is saying as he talks to Saul. David, in verse 34, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went down and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and I smote him and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. You know, David's not bragging here. He's telling the truth. He was out there watching his father's animals. And when these animals came to steal one of them, David is talking. He said, I went out there and I slew them. I took care of them. And then listen what he said. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. That uncircumcised Philistine and the lion and the bear. God gave me the ability, and God will give me the ability to take care of that giant. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul says, Go, and the Lord be with thee. David had been there, and he knew what God would do. Now, we'll come back to that in a little bit. David was recounting to Saul how that he had previously, God had intervened with him and given David the victory. And he said, God's going to deliver me now. Now, David had such a reputation that it says in 1 Samuel 18, I'm only going to read verse 12. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. David's reputation was that people around him knew him. They knew that God was with him. They knew that he walked by God. He knew that he trusted God. He knew God had delivered him from all those other things. He knew he'd won the battle. People just like Saul were afraid of him. And you know what? People, when they get around us Christians, they should know who we are. I'm not saying they should be afraid of us, but they should, because of the life David lived, people knew what his life was. And because of the life we live, people should know who we are and what we are. You know, am I a Christian? Do you believe I walk with the Lord? Do you believe I try to talk to Him? Do you believe I love Him? You know, people need to know by the life we live. Another thing David had in his favor. It says in verse 1 Samuel 23, 1 through 5, it talks, verse 4 it is. David inquired of the Lord yet again. And notice what it says. The Lord answered him. That's one thing that David knew. God would answer his prayer. And that's the kind of life we need to live. That we can know we're not praying talk prayers. We are talking to the Lord and asking Him for what we need. We need to serve God, put Him first, trust Him, and know that He will answer our prayer. David knew God personally. Many, many Psalms. As you read them, you can see David's heart. He loved the Lord. He wanted to serve Him. David's continued relationship with God and his heart for God came about because David personally knew God. Saul said this about him. First, Saul made this remark. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Now he's talking about himself. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. The Apostle Paul here is talking about himself and what a great Jew he was. Now, excuse me for saying it that way, but just go along with me. He's talking about himself. But you know, when he was on that road and a bolt of lightning flashed, Saul, Paul, saw what this whole thing was about and his whole life changed. He knew that the life he had been living was wrong and his life changed. He thought, before that, he thought he knew God. But that lightning bolt on that road showed him who God really was, and he learned who the Lord was at that time. He knew, he said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. This is Apostle Paul talking again. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. We are to walk with God, and we need to endeavor to personally know Him as David did. David knew Him intimately. Psalms 23, 4 through 6. He knew Him intimately. You know, He knew who He was. He knew that God answered his prayer. We just read that. He knew that God was with him and was leading him. He knew that God had delivered him from the paw of the bear and the lion. He knew that God had delivered him from Goliath. Listen to what he wrote in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He says, I've been there. I've been down in that valley, and God was with me. With me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, let's stop right here a minute. The rod and the staff, that's two different things. The rod was a weapon, heavy, weighted. If the enemy came, the shepherd could take that out and fight him away and chase him away. And if it was a wild animal, he could hit him over the head hard enough, you know, to do some damage. But then he also had the staff. That staff was a different kind of a piece of wood. Had a long handle on it, and it had a hook. Now, some of them had a hook, but most of them were a hook on the end. And if a sheep, you know, a sheep, they are one of the only animals in the world that don't have a defensive mechanism for fighting. And they're, if the shepherd just lets them go, their wool can grow that, and they become so heavy if they fall, they can't even stand up. If they fall over on flat ground, they are so heavy with the wool, if you don't keep them trimmed and just let it grow, some species cannot stand up by themselves. So staff has a hook on it. And the shepherd could reach down. If they fell in a hole, he could reach down and pick that sheep up and bring him up out of the hole. He could use it to push him and nudge him a little bit to get him to go the right way. He could use it to reach over and pull him to get him to come this way. And David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David had been hit probably by the rod, and he'd been led by the staff. But he said, they give me comfort because I know the Lord is teaching me a lesson. And God has lessons he needs us to learn. He wants us to learn. You know, the more we learn about God, the closer we want to walk with him. David, I admire that. Then it says in verse 5 of Psalms 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Man, even when my enemies are around, the Lord sets a table and he invites me to come in and sit down and take some food and rest and get closer to him and get warmed up and get ready for the battle, whatever it is. You know, verse 6. Mama, what was that preacher's name out in Texas that had those, that had that orphanage? Lester Roloff. You know that man, the first time I ever met him, was in up near Sherman, Texas. And he was traveling with a bunch of the orphan kids. And they were come, they were singing. And they sang that song, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, I didn't do it justice, but I had to sing it because that song means so much to me. Since I heard those orphan kids singing it that Sunday 50 years ago or more, that song has been special to me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Those orphan kids and Lester Roloff and what he done for them. And you know, David, he wrote this. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What more do we need? We don't need nothing else. You know, what do I need? What do I want? Two different lists. You want to see the long one or the short one, huh? David knew God intimately. He came to know God in a way that only people who have been through the valley of the shadow of death get to know someone like that. He had been in that valley, and God had been there and leading him. When he was in the valley, God led him to some substance to help him when he was hungry. Led him to the place where he didn't need to worry. helped him to find the rest that he needed. He had been there. He knew what it was all about. He knew him intimately. He had been through the tough times and the suffering. We can know him personally also. But you know what happens to us a lot of times? That relationship becomes casual and routine. Every one of us becomes casual and routine. Yeah. Yeah, I love you, Lord. Let's see. I had this thing done, so I had to stay home because my wife told me, she said, she did tell me this. She said, now don't shake anyone's hand too hard, you know, because that's my right hand, she said. And the doctor said, don't carry but 10 pounds. So she said, be careful shaking hands with that hand today. So thanks, baby. She tries to remind me of those things and keep me so I know what I'm doing. But you know enough about me to know that no one's going to help me to know what I'm doing, right? We get too comfortable. We have a devotion time. Yeah, I have a devotion time. It's real easy, though, for other things to draw me away from it. We're faithful in church. We get into a spiritual rut. You know, I saw a man. He worked with me. When I was in a church, I was a bus minister. I ran the sound system, and I even built the sound system and laid it out and everything, set all the equipment up, the knobs and things. And had a guy out there in the church. His name was Kim. Kim came and worked with me. You know, even when we'd come in for the parking lot, I went down, I rented one of those things that I could push your dirt around and try to level it up. A lot of that was on my own time. But I'm saying all that because of this. I pushed Kim too hard to work with me. And I saw him burn out. And it was all because I pushed him too hard. You know, we can do things ourselves sometimes, but we do need to be careful. We don't want to push people too hard. Sometimes, you know, like myself, I'm doing it for a good reason because this job needs done. Yeah, but I don't know what that guy's been doing before. Just like with me, you know, when my wife had 6 suitcases and I'm walking along with her, how many people? They didn't know the doctor told me I couldn't carry but 10 pounds, but they sure made a lot of comments and a lot of laughs and looks at me, you know, as if to say, what's this guy? He's got his wife trained, right? Thanks, honey, for making him think I had you trained, right? Anyhow, David had storms in his life. The presence of God is more powerful than the presence of evil. But it's only when we get into the presence of evil that we learn this. When we are in the valley, then we can learn a lot of truths. You know, Psalms 56, verse 4. In God I will praise His word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In God I'll put my trust. Psalms 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear Him. What can man do unto me? When we're on God's side, what can man do unto us? You know, Satan cannot dwell within us, but he can have an influence on us. He can influence our decisions, and he will try his best to get us to make the wrong decisions. But David knew God intimately, because God had taken him through the tough times, the rough times, and God, to David, had proved his faithfulness to him. And David knew he didn't have to fear. When I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He had been there. He had seen God taking care of him, and he knew that God was not going to let him. That God was there, and would take care of him. There's no, Leviticus. Moses wrote this. I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. That's what God said to the children of Israel. I will walk among you. I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. This, and let's look in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, God speaking again, let's start it all over. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now it says, if my people will humble themselves, if we'll pray, if we'll seek God's face, if we'll turn from our wicked way, then God makes us a promise. You know, it's just like what I said about this. I made promises to my kid. If you do that again, I'm going to spank you. If they did again, they got a spanking, because if I didn't spank them the second time, they did it. I lied to them. And God's not going to lie to them either. A nation must turn back to God. What does the Bible say about an relationship with God? Real quick. Psalm 63, if you want to open up and we'll read that together. Psalm 63, verse 1 through 6. About an intimate relationship with God. David's writing, oh God, like this, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have been seen in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watch. Psalms 91, verse 1 through 16. We won't read that, all of it, but I do have to read a couple of verses. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. That's what David said. Can we say that? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Then it says over in verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. We've made the Lord our habitation. And it goes all the way down through there. Oh, man. That whole chapter down through there. David's writing it, and it's precious. We need to read it. You know, we could almost say this. I think, how many chapters are in the Bible? I don't know. At least half of them we ought to read every day, though. I know we can't. It's impossible. But I'm just saying, you know, if you'll stop and read it, listen. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. James 4 through 8, listen to this. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. David loved God. Psalms 116. He loved God, and he knew that God loved him. Psalms 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my song. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Because David loved God gratefully. He had seen him, and he was grateful, thankful. So, verse 4, then rely upon the Lord. Verse 6, serveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Verse 7, return to thy rest, O Lord, For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Verse 8, for thou hast delivered me. My goodness, God had done so much for him. He loved him gratefully. He was grateful for all God had done. God loved David out of gratitude. He loved him for what he had done. God loved David's voice. He heard it. He answered his prayer. He delivered him from death. He delivered him from sorrow. He delivered him from temptation. We see David under the leadership of the Holy Spirit in 1 Chronicles 16, reminding the children of all of God's one. This is in that chapter. Chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles. We don't have time to read it. But David's reminding the people about all of God's wondrous works. He's reminding the people about God's holy name. He's reminding the people about God's strength. He's reminding the people about God's judgment. He's reminding the people about his covenant and also about his goodness and his mercy. He loved him gratefully. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalms 100. Got to read this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth forever. You know, there was over 50 people that was over 100 years old. And they went out there to try to find some common thing that made them be able to live till they were 100 years old. They checked their food, and there was nothing different about that. The food was all the same. The exercise was all the same. Everything about them was all the same, except two issues. They found the first thing is these people had a practice of gratefulness. Every morning when they woke up, they were grateful for a new day. Every day when they sat down at the table, they were grateful for the provision set before them. These people that lived to be 100 years old, their diets, their exercise, everything was equal except up here. They were a grateful people, and they were a people to forgiveness. They forgave people for things. They loved him devotedly. Psalms 116. Sorry. Listen to this. David's talking. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? David's saying, hey, after all that God's done for me, what can I do for him? Now, David knew. David knew he could never repay God for what he had done. He wasn't meaning that. He was saying, but how can I serve you, God? You've been so good to me. What can I do to try to be thankful, to be grateful to you? What can I do? I will take the cup. Verse 16. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaiden. Love is not how you feel. Love is what you do. David said, God's been so good to me. What can I do to pay him back? Got to share this with you. David stated his reason why he could go to fight Goliath, one very simple reason. And that's in 1 Samuel 17:46. Listen to what he said. One reason why he could do it. That all the world may know that there is a God in Israel. That's why he could go and fight Goliath. So that all the world could know that there was a God in Israel. And David was serving him. Can the people tell us that we love him? David agreed with the Lord. He agreed with him submissively. God was his rule book, his guidebook, his answer book. He agreed with him consistently. David was consistent. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct their path. God bless you. Thank you for being with us through these lessons about David. Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity again today to share this lesson. Father, help us to make the application to our own lives. Be drawn closer to you. Lord, help us to be thankful. God, we love you so much. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for letting him die for us. Lord, it'd be tough to give your son, but you did. And Lord, our Savior, it'd be tough to give your life, but he did. Father, help us to be grateful for what you've done for us. Bless us and use us today to honor you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You got about 8 minutes. Thank you very much.